Welcome to the Scottish Football Marketing Podcast with your hosts Michael Bockel and Chris Sampson. For this show, we delved into the Scottish Cup. We were joined by Jack Evans, social media content producer at the Scottish FA. He took us through the thought process behind the Scottish Cup marketing campaign, the activity, and what support there is for clubs. As always, you can find Chris on Twitter, at SportsMarketingSco, myself, at Michael Bockel, and you can also find Jack, at JackEvans8. If you want to get closer to the Scottish Cup, you can find it on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and YouTube. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to episode 6 of the Scottish Football Marketing Podcast. I'm Chris Sampson from Sports Marketing Scotland. With me, we've got Michael Bockel from the Scottish FA as well. Michael, welcome again.
Hello.
Back again for another podcast. We're going to touch on a topic that's very close to Michael today and probably close to a lot of people listening as well, and that is the Scottish Cup.
We are indeed. This show is going out just ahead, or it's first published just ahead of the Scottish Cup first round. So quite a timely one in that respect. Thought we'd do something a little bit different and do, obviously we had a sort of slightly in-house one when we talked about paid advertising and looked out a lot from the Scottish FA perspective and what we're doing across national teams and that. But what we're going to do and this one is talk, we've joined by Jack Evans, who's works of social media in my team, and go through a lot of the changes that we've seen in the Scottish Cup over the last couple of years from a digital and sort of brand point of view, and also some of the things that are out there for clubs that hopefully we'll see more, clubs can see a benefit of to them, but also so the fans or everybody else can get a bit of an idea of what goes on behind the scenes really with the Scottish Cup.
No, definitely. I think it's something that is going to be really useful for a lot of clubs, and it'll be good to for those not working at clubs listening to get a bit of an insight behind the doors here. Jack, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for inviting me.
Good stuff. Well, we kick off then.
Right on, yeah.
Let's go for it. So I wanted to start kind of at the beginning. I know you both have been here, almost a couple of years now, and a couple of years in your case, Michael. Take us back to when you were planning to basically roll out the new season of the Scottish Cup when you first started.
Yeah, so I joined for the just about the second round of the 2 years ago. So we were still had the Unrivaled campaign back then, and part of our the way we work in here is we have our game plans, so there are six of them. So GAME stands for Goals, Aims, Measurement and Evaluation. So we cover Scottish Cups, men's national team, women's and girls football.
Performance,
yeah.
Football development.
And governance as well. So I joined the Scottish Cup team, and I think a lot of research, and we had strategic goals, and what that kind of told us was a lot of fans weren't actually sure who owned the Scottish Cup. Mm-hmm. And looking at the Unrivaled campaign, it was becoming, coming to an end of its cycle. I think for a lot of people, it was maybe just about the hashtag Unrivaled rather than, it felt like there wasn't more to it than that for some people. So part of that, the game plan was we decided we wanted to refresh the campaign and come up with a bit more of an identity for the Scottish Cup, which is where the new campaign, the original Moments Unforgettable Memories came from. And part of that was creating a bit more of an identity for the Scottish Cup. You know, it's, I think for us, it had maybe become a bit too closely linked to the sponsor, too much sponsor-led. So we created an identity for that. There is a corporate crest which sits alongside the Scottish FA and the Scotland national team, because actually it's probably one of our most positive areas of the association. Mm-hmm. Is the Scottish Cup. So we developed that, and part of that was actually it was a really good exercise to looking at what makes the Scottish Cup so successful, and part of that the core message of really what the Scottish Cup is about is opportunity and the history of it, and the chance to be a part of something special, if you know.
Yeah, definitely. Michael, anything to add on kind of where you started with the Scottish Cup and kind of where it's taken?
Yeah, similar to Jack, obviously came in and inherited or started, the Unrivaled campaign was in place. Mm-hmm. And as Jack said, kind of at that start of that season, felt that this is probably the last cycle of it.
Do you think that was a group decision, or was it kind of passed down from...
I think it was a natural thing. A lot of the team changed at the time, and as Jack said, it was finding that balance between working with William Hill, the sponsor, but also having that clear Scottish Cup identity and making it the Cup competition is the important part. And while we've got a really good relationship with William Hill and we work very well with them, sponsors do come and go, and William Hill fortunately are here for a good while,
yeah,
which is great. And in their time, they've seen a lot of different winners. I think it was 5 different winners in 5 years, and then I think several more great cup finals on top of that. So they've been very happy with the way things are going, and there's a lot of plans in the future. It just felt that, well, put a bit of life into it. It's funny, you look at it, and this is no disrespect to the FA Cup or anything like that, but you look down south, and it's an easy comparison to make when you're looking at domestic cup competitions. And I think we're in a very fortunate position, as our clubs still take it very seriously. Scottish Cup still, as Jack said, means a lot to a lot of people. So we want to maintain that sort of special feeling about the Cup, and we thought, right, this is a chance to, for us, for myself and Jack, we'll have a run at it this season, see what happens from this side of things, Scottish Cup, and then going into new season, we'll really sort of put our own stamp on what we're doing. And that was the same for the marketing team and the communications team as well. So, and that's where this whole new campaign came from.
I think we were in the fortunate or unfortunate position, depending on your club allegiances, of the current holders at the time were Hibs, and that just, in my opinion, I think that gave the Scottish Cup a brand new lease of life. You could see what it meant to a club, to the individuals, to the fans, and it just, it really sort of made us think about what's special to the Scottish Cup to us.
Yeah.
These Hibs fans have got, they've just got this unforgettable memory, this moment in their lives that they will never forget, that they will tell their grandchildren about, which I think is what really sort of spawned the idea of everybody's got a connection with the Scottish Cup. Everybody's got that moment, even if it's not your day at Hampden winning it, it's your, you know, you cause an upset, your Bonnie Rigrose putting Dumbarton out, that sort of thing. It's a real, you've got, everybody's got a connection with the competition. So that's where with the development of the new campaign really came from.
Yeah, perfect. Mine's just usually getting beat, so it's not ideal. Take us to, obviously we're just about to, well, we have started the new season now. When does, and what goes into, when does the planning start, and what goes into that planning for the new season of the Cup?
So the planning for this season actually started about a year ago, in terms of looking at what we wanted to do, activity planning, focus on our strategic goals for what we want to do with the competition. And then a lot of that's taking it, looking at what we actually do for last season's competition, analysing, has that been successful, what worked, what didn't. So we've got a lot of big sort of I sound like a corporate robot here, we've got a lot of big picture stuff sorted sort of quite far in advance, but actually the specifics of the content we want to do on a match basis, we're maybe starting to last few weeks, we know what we want to do for sort of maybe rounds 1 to 3.
Yeah.
We've got your sort of staple content that we're going to do, and then after that we can maybe start looking on a match weekend, what we want to do sort of post round, because you can't, you never know what's going to happen on a Scottish Cup weekend to do in your post-weekend content.
How does the different approach differ for the different kind of groups of rounds, as you say then?
I think a lot of it is we want to do content that is exactly the same for the first round as can be the final. I think the big one for that was our Keep It Off The Deck competition.
Yeah.
So we visited clubs up and down the country. There was a sort of a soccer AM hit the bar style challenge, but basically you had to keep it off the deck and score a goal. So I think we did it with Stirling University in the second round, and they were leading right up until the semi-finals, where we did it with Aberdeen, who I think Scott McKenna attempted a wild overhead kick, but he didn't quite manage it in the end. But it's we want to keep the consistency of that, but on your sort of week-to-week content per round, there's certain stuff that you just can't keep the same. So a lot of the first, second, third round is actually getting people excited for it, telling the stories that might not be told by other outlets, and just actually saying there's some great stuff happening here and shining a light on it.
Yeah, it's definitely one where you look at rounds 1 to 3, the aim for us is to get more people engaged with it or aware that the Scottish Cup's going on at that stage. So if you're a supporter of a team that doesn't enter to the fourth round, for example, why would you necessarily have the interest in rounds 1 to 3? So we try to create, as Jack said, content like Keep It Off The Deck. So we're now going to be going into our second season of that, now that some of the bigger teams have been involved. Hopefully some of the fans of the bigger teams go to see how clubs, are the smaller clubs are beating, are they going to beat the bigger clubs? And we know our sort of bread and butter of content-wise for the each round of the Cup, people want to see the highlights.
I mean, my two favourite moments of the last Scottish Cup campaigns have both happened in the early rounds. I think it was 2 years ago, Stuart Knight, the Forest Mechanics goalkeeper, scored a 92nd minute equaliser. It was a header, and that was brilliant. Forest got a replay, went through to the next round eventually, and then last year's goal of the tournament winner was the first round. That was Samuel Namburo for Lothian Thistle Hutchinson Vale against Inverurie Local Works, and it was an incredible goal. Even Gary Mackay Stephen, when we announced the winner, said, actually, you know what, fair play, I'm never going to beat that. So it's...
Yeah, and it's entirely right. And it's, how do we then go, right, we've got those moments, and it goes back to the whole thing around the campaign, original moments, unforgettable memories. It's how do we take those moments and carry them forward? Talking of favourite memories of last season, mine's, and me and Ailsa had a good laugh at this, who's in my video team, is the guy that Cove Rangers scored a last minute winner away at Airdrie. The guy's that excited, falls down about two or three rows in the stand. And so the thing is, we'll go and clip that up and we'll put it out. And yeah, I think Pat and Bovril, somebody picked up on that one last year. So you get, again, people looking in, it's getting a wider audience.
Yeah.
The Scottish Cup early rounds are there. We've also trialled last season, we did a highlight show, and we did one rounds 1 to 3. Gordon Duncan came in, did the voiceover for that side of things, and a lot of work goes into that, and you look at the numbers and you go, yeah, I mean, we were getting a good few thousand watching each show.
It was a thing where we'd seen that there was sort of a bit of a gap in the market in the early rounds of the Cup. There was no sports scene, there's no sort of Sunday night highlight show, so we wanted to create a bit of an event, you know, just make our own sort of mini version of a sports scene. And I think it was a lot of work into it, but again, we're now at the stage where we analyse it, look at the numbers and think, is it the best use of our resources? And I think we're probably concluding, although I think it was good, clubs enjoyed it, we put the highlights out anyway the next day, so can we do something else with those resources? And so we've got some good plans for the upcoming season.
Yeah, I was going to ask and touch on, obviously you've both touched on Keep It On The Deck and that kind of recurring bit of content that is obviously planned. But then you brought up the kind of reactive content as well in terms of the chap falling down at Cove. How are those two things weighed up against each other, and then taken into account, obviously, video versus images versus written content as well from that side of things?
I think we can plan a video for months in advance, put a load of resources into it and put it out, but then someone could score an absolute worldie in a game at the weekend and that will beat it 10 times for numbers. So I think it's just weighing up the pros and cons of that. I certainly think, you know, with our build-up videos to finals and semi-finals, they're great, but it's highlights we know are always the big thing, and clipping up a goal, Samuel Amburo's goal, Gary Mackay Stephen's goal, they're brilliant for numbers. So I think it's, again, about highlighting what goes on the pitch, but at the same time getting people excited in the build-up to the games as well.
Yeah, so I was just going to jump in there and say, yeah, there's a lot of planning goes in the week and the build-up to the weekend's action. I can't say we plan to be reactive, but we acknowledge that there's going to be incidents happening on the weekend. Rounds four onwards, when the Sky cameras have been there, the BBC cameras have been there in the past, it's great because you know that a lot of that big incidents and there's multiple cameras at the games. Rounds one to three, it's something that we've learned to look out for more and brief. So we have to work with a production company, so we send so they get camera guys at all the games. So in the first round, I think there's 18 games. So we'll get a packaged highlights and that, and then we cut that down into our own. Mm-hmm. So what we've gone out for this season is briefed these camera operators to say, see if you see something even remotely interesting that you think that might have been, is get that, include that, and we'll make the judgment after the weekend. So we do, we work to content planners on our side, and it's basically just a Google sheet. So yep, we can all jump in and collaborate on it. But we'll blank out in that plan, or we'll, in our Scottish Cup planning that we do, we'll go, right, Monday, Tuesday is reactive content. We don't know what it's going to be yet. There might not be any, but we try to at least give ourselves space to go, if there is something, we'll put that out.
I think that's also a definite rationale and advantage of, I probably should have mentioned this earlier, was we launched the new Scottish Cup Twitter account, which was at Scottish Cup. I think in terms of reasoning behind that, sometimes in the week after a Scottish Cup week, we can be going straight into an international week, and you can be trying to do international build-up, you can be trying to recover youth games, you can be trying to do stuff from the weekend that happened in the Scottish Cup, and you're just bouncing around. So I think by creating a new sort of home on Twitter for the Scottish Cup was big for us, because yeah, we could dedicate an entire account building up to the weekend and to the post around content, but we could also maybe lighten the tone a little bit. We could do stuff that's maybe a bit less I don't want to use the term corporate, but you know, at the end of the day, we have to be aware that when we're using the Scottish FA account, we're the Games National Association, we're the, you know, the governing body. I think a good example of that was the FA Cup with their Chris Smalling has found Harry Kane in his pocket or something.
Yeah.
Again, I think they've clearly got a tone they wanted to go for on that, but I think at the end of the day, it was maybe misjudged. So I think that was a good example for me of highlighting that that could have been me, just watching what you say on the account and remembering that, yeah, you can be a bit more lighthearted, but just remembering that you are the governing body as well.
No, definitely. We're going to touch on kind of creative and tone of voice as well. And from a fan looking on, it's definitely been strong for the last couple of seasons. And obviously, the kind of imagery used as well across the accounts. I think, like you said, having that separate Scottish Cup account is definitely a big plus point, for me anyway. Do you think it's been kind of essential to building that tone of voice and creating more of a kind of resonance with people following that account?
I wouldn't say it's essential, but I'd say it's been really, really important. So it's, I think in terms of just the actual campaign, we can create an entire look and feel and the aesthetics of the campaign. We can brand up the Scottish Cup Facebook and Twitter and Instagram account with that, so people are automatically then creating an association with it. Whereas, again, if we're going back to toasting everything on one account, we could be rebranding week to week to week. And I think, again, it's just tonally, you're bouncing around. So I think having the dedicated Cup account, people are getting more and more familiar with it. But at the same time, in the initial sort of weeks and days, while we're growing the numbers, we could still rely on the high numbers of the official Scottish FA account to retweet the content, to share it.
Yeah. One other thing I was going to just touch on before we move on as well is creating that, obviously because the Scottish Cup isn't a weekly competition either, creating that buzz when the games aren't coming up. Mm. Is that something that is looked into and like basically keeping that awareness up?
Yeah, I think that's something we've probably been guilty of in the past, of between rounds the content has been we've maybe not given it as much attention as we should, but that's part of one of our sort of my certainly key goals for this season is to round to round to keep it going. And I think that's really where the evolution of last season comes on. It's, you know, original moments, unforgettable memories. There's so many great memories of fans hold of the Scottish Cup. Let's actually use the campaign to convey those messages. You know, we're trying to beef up our archive for archive footage. We've seen how successful SPFL have been doing that. There's some great pictures from some of the old days, the older it came. So I think actually just getting fans to think about the Cup, even when it's not on, just to be, you know, oh, that's coming up soon, that'll be good, we can maybe have a Cup run this year. That's big for us.
Yeah. I think one of the things we touched on in the podcast with Robin as well was kind of how well kind of that historical content does. Do you think the kind of history and heritage behind the Scottish Cup makes it a bit of an easy one to sell for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, the Scottish Cup is pretty much built on history. I mean, we talk about it as the oldest national trophy in association football. I mean, so many great games across the years that it's easy to forget, well, not easy to forget, but you do forget about some of the absolute crackers that there has been. And that's one of the things that Jack touched on there, is that between the rounds, we can rely on that side of content, and we can look at going, right, as Jack said, we're still needing to build up our archive, and just something that we've not got, believe it or not, but why can't we look at doing what is the greatest Scottish Cup game of all time vote, looking at the greatest Scottish Cup goal of all time. We've done nostalgia on this day quite a lot across Scotland and the Scottish Cup, and Scottish Cup, obviously, when the bigger teams are involved, then the nostalgia is very much, it's an easy win. You get the numbers when you do the nostalgia on this days, or looking back to whatever round it is with teams from the Highland League, Lowland League. If you're a purely numbers man, you would never do it. But also, it means a lot to these clubs.
And yeah.
I know, I've made no secret, I'm a Newark County fan on this podcast. And if you speak to the guys in there, and you go, what does the Scottish Cup mean to you, and what sticks out in your mind? I'm sure a lot of them would say to the season that 3-0 down to Clyde away, take it back to 3-3, beat them in a replay, and then go on to come back from forfeit and force a replay again. And it's games like that, it's like, that probably means nothing to 95% of people that's listening to this, but to the guys from there, and they go, oh yeah, no, that was a great day out, or that thing. So we're aware that if you were doing it purely a numbers game, then you would just concentrate on rounds four and beyond. So we have to be more creative about what we do, and highlighting, as Jack said at the start, it's highlighting those original moments. I mean, the Stuart Knight scoring for Forest, being a goalkeeper, is one of those ones that we need to keep reminding people of that throughout the years, and all the other sort of great moments that maybe people have forgotten throughout the years, but we need to bring them back to life. So yeah, it's finding the balance with the nostalgia in the early rounds. It's a bit easier in the later rounds, but yeah, it's popular, and it's an easy win for us.
I think what was key for us when we were developing the new sort of brand identity in the campaign was, yeah, you've got the history of it, but don't just let the Scottish Cup as the trophy become sort of the totem of it. It's what we always stuck to was, it's history in the making. So you've got your history, but it's also in the making. You've got new stuff happening all the time. So yeah, the archive stuff is great, the nostalgia factor is good, but don't let it come ahead of what's actually going on and what's still to come. It's still a great competition. We got research from UEFA and Kantar that said, indicated that to Scottish football fans, they actually look at it in the same sort of prestige as they do the Champions League. So that was a bit of a surprise to us, but it was great that it's still such a relevant and such an important competition, and so that's why we're giving it so much attention, because it is a fantastic competition and we want to celebrate that, but we also want to share it with people as well.
One of the things you guys have been doing over the last couple of seasons to share it with more people is, I mean, I've jotted it down here as innovations, but it's not massively new, obviously, and borrowing from other people doing it previously. Things like Story of the Cup, Story of the Round, the highlight show, like you mentioned as well. And one of the big things for me from last season was the archive style footage that Archie McPherson commentated over.
That was great. So before the year, a few months before I started, my predecessor and our video guy Craig Jones, they did the semi-final recap in the style of a Pathé newsreel. So I think they had Daryl Broadfoot and David Childs doing it in the sort of the 1920 style newsreader voiceover, and it was brilliant. I saw that as a fan and I loved it, and I just thought, can we do something similar? So we moved on to the season before last was sort of a silent movie, like with the piano and sort of like you'd see a damsel in distress on a train track sort of thing, giving it that style, so, you know, crackly black and white footage. And then I thought, well, I quite like the idea of this becoming a sort of something you just see every season, so what's it going to be next? So the big one for us was 1990. It was sort of, it's when I grew up, and so we did the treatment to the footage, and we had the commentators from the match, but it didn't sound quite right, so we gave Archie a phone call, who kindly agreed to come in and do it, and it just made it, so it was perfect. But needless to say, we're already thinking of ways we can do it for this coming season. So got a few ideas up our sleeve.
Yeah, I was going to ask if there was any more ideas up the sleeves.
Yeah, and that goes back to what we were talking about towards the start of the podcast. We do have content planned out that we do every season. And you're right, we're not claiming to be innovators, or we pretty much are. We'll take inspiration from elsewhere. The Story of the Cup final, for example, SPFL have been doing that for years. What we did is we put our own slant on it, and we did it for, right, we did the first one was Celtic Aberdeen Cup final. If Aberdeen had won it, it would have been all about Aberdeen. It was Celtic had won it, so it was all about Celtic. And it was given their fans, because as a loser in a final, yeah, it's a great day out, but we thought, right, we can maximise this video and really just target the winners of the cup and show them in that day. And then you look at the average, gone, right, what else can we do? And in rounds 1 to 3, we go, right, can we do something, just a little thing? This is no way going to change the whole landscape of Scottish football, but we put Snapchat filters in for every game in rounds 1 to 3 in the Scottish Cup. So it's their own custom Snapchat filter at each game that highlights the fixture. And yeah, we'll probably do it again this season, even though we are, as an organisation, kind of moving away from Snapchat, but it's a little thing we can do in there. Did the Story of the Cup really for the first time this season, for last season. Hadn't really done anything like that previously. We'd done a little bit of highlights, but we tried to tell the whole story, and we're looking at how do we just keep building on that. And again, yeah, it's not doing anything radically different. We try to come up with, put our own slant on things more than anything. And yeah, we're no shame to admit that we're heavily inspired from elsewhere.
I wanted to, just before we touch on some advice for clubs, just quickly touch on sponsor as well. Obviously, you mentioned earlier William Hill are big parts of the Scottish Cup and have been for some time now. How vital is that? And then kind of maximising that partnership as well.
Well, that's it. I mean, the sponsor in here because they're wanting to get more value out of what they're doing. They're putting an investment, they're looking for a return, but there'll be regular calls ahead of the rounds. We'll share our content plans with them. The key thing for us and the key thing for the partner is so they're aware of what we're doing and we're aware of what they're doing and where can we help each other and maximise the opportunities. They go quite big on the PR side of things, so they'll have photo calls with ex-players in the early rounds. They'll try and get stories. They went to Lothian Thistle, Hutchie Vale. They're looking to maximise their brand exposure, get good sort of value from the Scottish Cup and what it means to them. And they're big supporters of the Scottish Cup and have been, as we said, for years. And it's just in order to maximise what happens between us is just that regular communication and understanding what each other's objectives and goals are. As they said, when we launched a new campaign, we took them through the whole campaign, and we've got to make sure that it still aligns with what they're trying to achieve.
Yeah.
And they'll have branding requirements and all the sort of visual side of things as well. So we got to just make sure that our campaign's matching theirs and very much make it a two-way relationship.
At William Hill, actually, really, really great partners to work with. I think some of my favourite pieces of content from the last couple of seasons with them where they were the 360 fan pick for the semi-finals and finals season before last, and took a massive photo where you could go zoom in, find yourself, tag yourself, win tickets for the final, or win tickets to Scotland, England it was, if you were a losing semi-finalist. They brought Michael Buffer over for the team announcements last year, and that was surreal and brilliant. I loved it.
Went down quite well on social media, yeah, there, didn't it?
And they've bought into the campaign as well, sort of the idea of original moments, unforgettable memories. They did a really good piece of content that we put on our website. It was sort of an interactive timeline of Edinburgh derbies across the years. And they're really good to work with. And we've worked with them on a number of channels. I think Twitter and Instagram stories are the big ones. But we're planning more activation with them this season.
And just to touch on benefits for the clubs and working with the clubs, we heard on the first episode, obviously, Scottish FA is much more, it's getting much more involved. Obviously, this podcast is part of that as well, and helping the clubs out in general. But around the Scottish Cup matches, how and when are the clubs looked in terms of the competition to start off with?
So I think the big one for us is the Toolkit, which is basically an online platform where clubs can go and create posters and programme covers, personalise it and download them and use them. We're beefing up a lot this season, so every club involved in the competition can go in, not only do posters and programmes now, but there's a full suite of social assets, so team lines, goal cards, fixture graphics, you name it, it's there. They can also upload their own photos and brand them up, so we're launching that pretty soon. We're really excited about that. We've also been involved in sort of club meetings, so it's the SPFL forum with clubs, so we've been lucky enough to be at there's been two of those so far. The Scottish Cup game plan have been at both of those. So we've presented to clubs, we've sort of discussed things with them. I think last year's semi-finalists, you sort of tested out a version of the toolkit for us before we launch it this season. And then we also sort of had a focus group about the featured matches, what would you like to see on the toolkit, the draws, that sort of thing. What do the clubs want from us, and how can we deliver that? So there's a good bit of dialogue that goes on between us and the clubs.
How did the featured matches get decided?
Well, that's something we're looking to change up this season. I think in the initial way we look at it and go, is there an interesting story to this? Is there a good rivalry?
When we first introduced the featured match, we had Tariff versus Bonnie Rigg-Rose. The reason behind that was Bonnie Rigg-Rose had scored 22 goals in the preliminary rounds combined. So you were like, goal scoring junior team in against the Highland League team. There's an opportunity there. You go. Then we had Forrest coming on Colts. Goalkeeper scored in the round previous. He got goal of the round. So you've got the second game there. Last season, you're looking at games. Brora were on a good run. They hadn't conceded in the competition. They go away. We're fortunate. It was a great game to go down there and win.
So you get scored a last minute winner.
Yeah. So you get stories. So you're always looking at that stories at the relevant club and why there's reasoning behind the madness, if you like. And as Jack said, looking forward to this season. there's been, we might do it slightly different. We've been discussing getting fans involved and doing votes around featured matches, and so there's different ways of looking at how we do it going forward. But yeah, the featured match has been an interesting one. We did it as an experiment, really, more than anything, two seasons ago. And for those that are listening and are not too sure what the featured match is, it's just trying to add to the experience of that match and bring a bit of focus. And we've developed into the concept that we kind of want to make it a mini cup final, if you like, because in all reality, Turriff United or a Bonnie Rigg Rose are not going to make the final. But what can we do? So last season we introduced the whole sort of walkout carpets, and the trophy's always there. We've got giveaways at the ground.
It's got the photo booth with the trophy where fans can get photos printed out and branded up with the Scottish Cup. It's good fun, actually.
It's something we just keep trying to add on every season.
We were laid on buses for the team, for the away fans last season, and that was tremendous. The Brora Rangers fans, when they went to Stranraer, I think they took a bagpiper with them on the bus, so that must have been quite a trip on the way back, having scored a last minute winner. So.
And just to finish us up, takeaways for the clubs from you guys' experience of marketing the Scottish Cup?
Yeah, I think for the Scottish Cup is make the most of the moments that happen, either within the games or within that cup journey. We saw again last season that the Highland League teams, there was four in the fourth round draw, and that was a big thing. One, not just for the clubs, but the Highland League as a whole. But Brora, when they drew Kilmarnock, somebody was building a new housing estate in Kilmarnock and named streets after Brora. That's what just shows the power of the Scottish Cup. But it's maximised those moments, and don't be scared to. We know nostalgia works. We've talked about it in the past. Is in the run up to Scottish Cup games, is can you look back and whether it's a website article or an image, and just on, do you remember? That's how things get your fans excited about the Scottish Cup, because people, as I said, we speak to anybody. We did a Scottish Cup tour across the country, and those that were working on the tour had people coming up to them just telling them random stories about their Scottish Cup memories, because people have those memories. So yeah, it's just harnessing them at each club, and seeing what you can do that and turn that into a bit of social content that you can get people excited about.
It's special. I mean, every time we take the trophy anywhere, the first thing fans do is look at the engravings and think, where's my team on this? And so we're going to try and do something with that for the website. Got some good plans for that, but I think it's overall if you look at sort of Hearts last season and Dunfermline, they did some really good content around their anniversaries, St Mirren the year before. I think it's just celebrate your achievements in the cup, and the Scottish clubs are so good at doing that.
Perfect. Well, that finishes up there for that chat. Obviously, if you're in regular listener to the podcast, you'll know that we finish up by doing a little tour of things that we've seen recently that we've liked. And Michael, do you want to kick us off?
Yep, certainly. Just a couple for me. One was happened a few weeks ago now, but LA Galaxy were sending out season ticket renewals to their fans, and they just put a very simple message: dear whoever, what your name was, please renew Zlatan. And that was it.
I don't think they even said please. It was just renew now.
Yeah, and it was a link, and that was very simple, but it just shows the power of Zlatan. But did something very different, and it's got a lot of traction, and seen a lot of LA Galaxy fans said they were definitely renewing. So that was quite a unique way of looking at things. Not every club can obviously do that, but it was something a bit different. The other thing I'd seen, and it ties in with working with sponsors and partners, was the Sydney Swans, who are an AFL team in Australia. They had a match, a game, and they allowed free parking for all Volkswagen drivers because they are partners with Volkswagen.
Would you buy a Volkswagen just to get some free parking?
No, I'm Vauxhall through and through. And just tying back, obviously the previous podcast was on fan experience, and I done this in a previous podcast in terms of somebody to follow. If people are interested in more of the fan experience side of things, I actually got the Sydney Swans example from a guy called Blair Hughes. Again, another Australian, but you can find him on Twitter at Mr. Blair Hughes, and he's very much providing lots of examples of fan experience. So yep. It's always a good one to follow to get inspiration.
Definitely, yeah. Jack, have you got a few for us?
There's a Twitter account. It's at Scottish Cup, and it's that. So the one, it was a few weeks ago now, but it was Brechin City preparing for the Angus Derbies, and they did a Game of Thrones sort of video, and it was brilliant. I loved it. Big Game of Thrones fans, but even if you're not, it was the production that went into it was great, and I just thought it got me excited for games that I don't have an investment in, but that was, you know, well done to them. That was brilliant. Even sort of both and the other teams in there were jumping on it.
Yeah, I saw that too. I think we need a kind of Angus trophy for League One this season. It'd be quite good.
And the other one that caught my eye was guys at the Terrace have recently sort of got a new look. I think it's really, really pretty cool, really nice design. Simple and elegant, but it's... when I'm listening to it, it's a very nice little graphic to have on my screen on the phone on the way to work in the morning.
Perfect. I'll finish us up. My first one is quite Scottish Cup related. A little bit inspired, I think, probably by Hibs' trophy tour that they did around the country. Cona's Quay in Wales did a pub crawl. They won the JD Welsh Cup, so they took the Welsh Cup kind of around the pubs in their area, which I absolutely loved, coming from a place where there's quite a few pubs. So all on the one street, so that would definitely go down quite well where I live. And just to finish this up, there was a couple of, it's a bit like camera related, but I saw MLS has got a partnership with Twitter, and they had fans, I think it's an ongoing thing now, but fans can tweet in a certain hashtag to control, like a bot-controlled camera. And then when they tweet that hashtag, they basically receive back an image of what that camera could see at that moment in the match, which I thought was quite cool. And similarly to that, in the German Super Cup, I'd spotted this too, and they debuted a corner flag camera, which is just a couple of kind of nice little innovations that kind of overall add to the experience for fans watching the matches.
Yeah, the German one's quite interesting. I'd seen them demoing that in May this year, and they're big. Obviously, Bundesliga pretty much create their own content. Yep. They are the Sky Sports, if you like, and then they distribute it, and some of the technology and the cameras they were looking at. But yeah, the corner flag was one. Obviously, they were doing a lot of other stuff around advertising hoardings and following play and stats for individual players going around this. It was crazy real-time stats, but yeah, the Germans are leading the way when it comes to the television side of things.
100%, yeah. Well, that finishes up. Thank you very much, Jack and Michael. Whistle stop tour of the Scottish Cup for everybody listening. Join us again next time, and don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on all good podcast listening services.